What the Health with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. I'm an online coach and a fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation and I'm a former head of medicine performance in professional football. However, I've been a fitness and health expert for over a decade and I've been helping real people feel better and move smarter. If you're sick of dodgy health advice online, you're in the right place because every week I help you cut through the chaos and confusion of the internet nonsense and health hype, bringing clarity, evidence and a lot of energy. I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends, bust myths and guide you towards real lasting results the healthy way. Coming up on the show, I'm going to be joined by Kevin Cooper, co-founder of Celebrity Football, and Tafiq Hanachi, professional chef and founder of Nutrigenic. Joining me now is Rachel Ashby, who is a carnivore fitness coach. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. Right, so carnivore diets. How did you first get into it?
Well, I first started with the keto diet. I did that for about 6 months. And the keto and carnivore diets are pretty tied together. It's literally the same thing, but you drop the veg, basically. So when I started seeing these videos on the carnivore diet, I thought it was absolutely insane. Because at the time, I really believed heavily in fruit and veg and eating, you know. So I was doing net carbs on keto, which means you can eat more veg.
Okay. Nice.
Yes. And then I saw these videos by this doctor called Dr. Sean Baker, who I eventually became a coach for. And it just started to, it planted a seed, basically. And then the more I was eating veg, the more I was thinking, oh, actually, I'm bloated or I feel a bit, you know, that it had a side effect of some way. And I hadn't noticed it before. I just thought it was normal. And then I realized I'm eating this veg and I'm having this side effect.
Okay. Interesting stuff. So you've explained a little bit about the diet. How exactly does it work? So for the listeners, I have an idea, you know, keto, I get it, but this is very different. So how exactly does the carnivore diet work?
So it works by taking out inflammatory foods from the diet. It's very much just meat, salt and water. You can have some dairy in there, but a lot of people can have some issues with dairy, so it's not for everyone. But basically, it's a high-fat diet, so you're drawing on energy from fats instead of energy from sugar and glucose.
Like ketosis?
Yeah, yeah. People will be in ketosis the majority of the time when they're on the carnivore diet. There are some myths out there to say that it completely throws you out of ketosis when you eat a bolus amount of protein, but I've just recently seen some data on that that kind of bust that myth.
Okay, okay, nice. Good stuff. Okay, so you have discussed some of the physical benefits, you know, you've seen from the diet. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, how you felt when you kind of first started it all?
I actually started the diet because I thought I'm going to disprove it. It was just one day. It was a day before my daughter's birthday, 6 years ago. And I thought, okay, I'm going to jump on this and I'm going to prove that vegetables are really important and that we really need those, that fiber. Day three, I was like, wow, I've never felt so good. This is amazing. And because I had an easy ride because I went from keto to carnivore, so my body had already adapted to using fat as fuel.
Less transition, yeah, okay.
And I just felt so great. I was like, what, this is normal? This is how you can feel? This is crazy. Because there were so many things along the way, knee pain, joint pain, headaches, you know, dry skin, breakouts. You just think it's just normal. It's just a normal part of life. And actually, when you take out a lot of these foods and then you're left with just these pure health foods, you feel amazing. And you really get a real sense of how you can feel, how good you can feel.
Okay, so explain to me how a normal day of food would look for you.
Okay, so like this morning, I had, so obviously I know there's a lot of people out there that count calories. I don't usually count calories, but I did this morning, just to show. So this morning I had 13 eggs for breakfast. So for me, that's quite a low calorie, if we're going to look at calories, breakfast, because it was under 900. Normally I'll have over 1,000 easily. So I might have eggs for breakfast, usually minimum of 10. Mm-hmm. And then for lunch, I might have a kilo of chicken wings. Yeah. And then for dinner, I might have a steak or two, depending on how hungry I am. I may add butter to those. The way that I eat, it's intuitive.
You make your own butter, if you don't mind me asking.
I don't. I have done.
Okay.
But I don't currently. But I do go to a farm local to me, Dawlicious Farm, and they sell raw milk. And if you take your raw milk, it is so easy to make butter. It is.
Yeah, okay. Right, fascinating. Because I'm obviously aware that consuming high protein, and this is why, you know, as a coach and lots of coaches out there mm-hmm. suggest high protein, because it's you burn more calories to break it down, right? So in theory, your protein intake is probably like maybe 2.5, maybe 3 grams per kilo of body weight, would you say?
It's quite high.
Yeah, which is great because for you, if you're not tracking your calories and you're not, you know, but you'll help, it's going to help you build tissue. Like, okay, it's interesting stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
I like the concept of it and the idea.
Obviously, with protein, it takes 5 times the amount of energy mm-hmm. to use up protein
yeah.
than it does other food types.
Carbs or fats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in your opinion, is the carnivore diet healthy?
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
Because these are the foods that we are actually meant to eat. Our body, if you just look at the stomach pH, it's 1.2 in a healthy human.
Yeah.
That is for splitting protein. We are designed to eat protein. Mm-hmm. Going on myself and my clients, when they cut out, so for me, I'd already cut out all the junk and I'd been junk free, sugar free for 6 months.
Okay.
I still had some niggling issues and there was such a dramatic improvement in my health from cutting out the veg, funny enough. Which at the time blew my mind. But actually, when you look into veg, there's a high level of anti-nutrients in veg that people don't really look at.
Yeah.
But there's things like a low oxalate diet for people with kidney stones. Mm. So we have known about it for years, but it kind of just gets forgotten about and buried.
Well, I think this all comes down to the schooling system, right? We could do so much better with educating young children, adults with anything really, right? We are showed a food pyramid, okay?
Yes.
And I actually think the food pyramid is potentially one of the worst things out there. Now,
yeah.
I look at veg
mm-hmm.
20 years ago, thumbs up in my opinion, green flag, thumbs up. Now, you need, in my opinion, you would probably need twice as much to get the same potential health benefits, whereas obviously you have felt and you've experienced, because not carnivore won't work for everyone, right? Or would you feel it does?
I believe it does.
You believe it does.
So okay. Mentally it may not, because some people, they just want that extra variety and so they find it difficult to actually fulfill, you know, go through the diet and stick to it. But I think if everyone actually gave it a chance, we all have the same mechanisms in our body to digest food. Mm-hmm. We all have that same digestive system. So to say that it's not going to work for me, I mean, even if you look at all the animals on the planet, we are the only animal on the planet that thinks that they need a different diet. I need a different diet to you. Mm. I need a different diet to, you know, anyone else in the studio. We're the only animal that does that.
We are.
We're the only animal that counts and tracks also.
We are. We yeah. are. But then it's because I feel that a lot of people have such poor relationships with food.
Yes.
So the way I look at it is I would rather you become obsessive with tracking your calories than be morbidly obese and potentially have bigger health issues because you are maybe a gluttonous individual and you don't know how to control.
Yeah.
And you don't know when you're bored. How many people boredom eat? How many listeners do you think boredom eat?
No carnivores. Well, absolutely no carnivores. Okay. I've never heard, it's unheard of.
Well, would you snack on? Biltong?
I don't actually need to snack.
Okay.
So I do eat 3 meals a day, which is quite rare in the carnivore community. And
okay.
I probably eat a lot more than the others, yeah. A lot of people in the community,
yeah, yeah.
But it works for me. It gives me full energy, and I don't like you know, some people just fast every day. They completely ignore their hunger cues, their, you know, your hormones are there to tell you things. Your body's telling you what you need. And I like to work with that. So once you get rid of the junk, your body actually craves the good stuff. It only craves the good stuff. Unless, you know, there may be an occasion where I've tried to fast or something. That's when the food starts looking good that you shouldn't be eating. If I'm fully fed, the food doesn't look good. It doesn't even look like food. It doesn't compute. I mean, my plastic bottle would be, I'd eat that instead of that junk, you know? Like, it's just not food to me. When you're fully fed.
I mean, I have two friends. I'm not going to name drop, but yeah, like, two friends do it. And they're like, oh, you should try it. Like, you're naturally quite a big dude and you've got good muscle tissue. Like, you'd probably just, you'd get super ripped and you'd get even bigger and more jacked. And I'm just like, these guys aren't big gym goers, but they're like, they feel it's completely changed their life. They was like, I had back pain, I had knee pain. I'm a firm believer of everything works if you stick at it long enough.
I don't know.
I think everything works for everyone.
I don't know,
now,
because before I was sticking at doing these juice fasts.
Oh no, that doesn't. That doesn't work. That's
But everything.
Okay, fine. Okay, fair play. You know what? I'm gonna hold my hands up. Yeah, you shoot me. Yeah, you shoot me in the studio. That's fine. No, I like that. Yeah. Okay. Fine. The fads and the gimmicks don't work, but actual like I believe, you know, doing keto works. I believe that carnivore works. I even believe that veganism works. Pescatarian works. I do. I like if it fits your macros.
Pescatarian maybe. Yeah. Because they've got fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's got those nutrients. But if you're vegan, you are cutting out so many essential nutrients that you're. It's vital for brain health. It's vital for bone health, and you're just cutting those out.
And
then there are a lot of vegans that are then taking all of these pills, potions, and everything. I take no supplements, by the way. I don't need to supplement.
I guess in theory you wouldn't need any creatine because you're going to get it naturally.
You get it
from
with
your...
the red meat. It's absolutely loaded with it. So you don't need any supplements on this diet whatsoever. The only thing that you do need to watch is your electrolytes.
And your omega-3s?
Yeah, you get everything. Yeah. Omega-3, you've got that in red meat.
Oh, yeah, you do. But I suppose when you eat so much of it, you don't have any fish, do you?
Rarely. So recently I went to a restaurant where they cook up the food for you in front of you and had some scallops, and they were delicious. Scallops cooked in
with butter.
Amazing.
God, it's, you know,
so
it's
good.
11:10. I'm starving at the thought of all this food talk. Jesus. Okay, so doctors have warned that this diet says it lacks essential nutrients, which you've disclosed that it doesn't, okay? Yeah. What would your response be to anyone listening to this and licking their chops going, oh, this sounds quite nice?
Yeah, I would say try it. I mean, I tried it because I wanted to disprove the diet. Now I'm 6 years later, very happy, very healthy. If I rewind my time back to then, I was overweight, I was unhappy, I wasn't leaving the house. I was making I literally felt so
anxious and stuff like that.
The anxiety was through the roof, the depression was through the roof. Now, I would say, yes, my body composition did change and I'm happy with my body composition.
Well, we need muscle tissue, so I'm assuming that you decreased in body fat and you increased in muscle mass.
Absolutely, yes. So, like, that is the least of my wins, though. The biggest one is my depression disappearing, my anxiety disappearing, never having to wear makeup. Okay, so today I've got mascara on, but I don't wear foundation, I don't wear concealer. When before I had to take my concealer everywhere because I was just so covered in spots. It's made me look younger. It's got rid of some lines that I had. You know, I'm 41. I'm a mum of four. So I feel like I'm in good... Yeah. Okay. So I'm in decent health. I'm 42 in August, so I'm nearly 42.
Okay. I mean, I'm sold. Like, you know, I'm not here to challenge you and go, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this. I'm here to help present and get the listeners thinking and, you know, educated and learning about this. So are there any groups of people that should avoid this lifestyle choice? We're not going to call it a diet because I don't believe the word diet exists. You diet if you're going on holiday in 8 weeks and you want to look smaller, leaner, whatever. That is a diet. We're talking lifestyle change because this is a lifestyle.
It is lifestyle. It's unfortunate it's called the carnivore diet, but that did actually make it blow up.
Carnivore style,
let's rename it.
Renamed here.
I like proper human diet is another one. But I would say there is no one out there that shouldn't do it, because actually reducing inflammation in your body is very good. It's very wise.
That's for sure. Like, yeah, I'm fully aware of, yeah, the inflammation side of things.
Okay, and, imagine living with so much energy, happiness. Like, I literally was toxic before. I was so unhappy.
Really?
And now I'm like practically never unhappy. Even when I've got something stressful thrown at me, I can deal with it. It's fine. I just take it in my stride. Everything's fine.
Okay. What is one thing you think people should know about this lifestyle?
So in the beginning, that your body is adapting, you're changing from one energy source to another, and that can come with some side effects. So some people might jump ship straight away, but actually just kind of give it a bit of time, stick with it and see how you feel.
6-8 weeks, would you say?
What? About 6 weeks.
Give it a go for 6 weeks, okay. And then what would you say the first 2-3 weeks will be the hardest, or would you say the next ones? Because when you miss a day of anything, it's a mistake. Mm-hmm. But when you miss 2 days, it's the start of a new habit.
Yeah.
Don't ever miss 2 days.
Yeah.
So with this, you know, if someone's craving something or whatever, obviously don't give in, but it's easy to say don't give in. Otherwise, we would all have six packs, or we'd all have the perfect body
that'd be nice.
We want, wouldn't we, if we didn't give in to the demons on our shoulder or in our heads. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, would you say the first couple of weeks are the hardest, or would you say...
I would say...
The first days.
Definitely the first week, okay. Because it is such a mental battle for people to just have a plate of meat. Like, my biggest problem with my clients one is under-eating. Two, we have a session and they're saying, okay, so what else should I put with my steak? What else should I put with my eggs? Mm. And it's like, you don't have to put anything, you know, you don't have to add anything to it.
Yeah.
You can make it as varied as you want. There's things out there like pork scratchings, if you get decent ones, you know, there's so many different things that you can eat. There's so many different cuts of meat so that you can keep it varied. There's different videos on YouTube, there's different websites, Rivero or Carnivore Diet, that actually have recipes on there. People make pizzas. They call them meatsas out of just
that
meat.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's just literally meat and cheese.
Wow.
So those are good transition foods to get people used to just seeing a plate of just meat. Mm-hmm. That's the mental battle. The other thing is, when people go out, they're not sure what to do. But unless you're unfortunate enough to end up in a vegan restaurant, there's going to be meat. There's going to be a way of adapting it. So don't be scared of speaking to your waiter, waitress and saying, can you take this off? Can you add this in place? You know, so I often do a little bartering with the waiter or waitress. And then by the time my food comes, everyone's looking at me and saying, yours looks amazing. Yeah.
Right, Rachel, we are out of time. Thank you so much for today. Where can people find you online?
So you can find me at carnivore.fitness or at tallow.glow. Literally, mostly on Instagram, but across socials.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Right, guys, coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by Kevin Cooper, founder of Celebrity Soccer.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello. The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being like making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so good.
Amen.
So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, "How tall is your mum?" And I was like, "Oh, she's 6 feet under." Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you'd never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what, I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Joining me now is Kevin Cooper, founder of Celebrity Soccer. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, George. I'm good. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for joining us today. Right, so we're going to dive straight into the questions. First of all, how did you first find your passion for football?
Being a little kid, football thrown in my arms. My dad played a lot of cricket and football when I was growing up, so obviously I was taken to all the different cricket fields he'd go and play in, football fields, and just as a kid, just in the background with other kids from the parents, just joining and, you know, just kick a football around, and the passion started from there, really. Just, wouldn't leave a football alone. So, yeah, from a young age, from probably, from what I remember, about 6-7 years old, and then playing in a little youth team at 10 years old, yeah. So the passion all started back then.
Amazing. And you previously played for AFC Wimbledon, and you are their highest goal scorer. What's it like to have that as an accolade or as an honour?
Yeah, very, just still doesn't sink in even now. I know it's there, and it's obviously, I talk about it quite a lot, I think, to the family, but you know, when you think, you know, going back to, I went to Plough Lane 2 weeks ago last week for the playoff semi-final, and when you're there and then guest of honour a few weeks before when you're there and it's then 21 years ago, you think, oh my god, that's a long time. So 21 years ago, but yeah, very proud, like, you know, even now, when I go back there, obviously I look a couple of stone here. Different hairstyle, but it's nice to still be recognised when I was down there the other week. But again, yeah, it's something I'm very proud of, and being with pride when, you know, people talk about it, but I am sort of very, shoulders go down. I'm not sort of walking around that, you know, I'm not so arrogant about it. I'm a bit more, wow, I did that, but, you know, I'm not, you know, it's just something I'm proud of.
Yeah, I mean, we struggled to kind of hear a lot of that, Kev. I think your signal's not the best. Are you moving about?
Hello?
Okay, right, we're going to cut to some listener questions. So, right, we have got Vicky, who asks, I have started a new program, but I'm worried about doing the exercises wrong. How do I make sure my form is right? First of all, Vicky, where did you get your program from? And second of all, there's a couple of ways you can do this. YouTube is probably the most amazing platform to learn any skill or any movement. So you could always go on YouTube.
If you have a coach, you would like to think that your coach is going to send you videos, coaching tips, coaching cues. If not, I would highly recommend getting in touch with someone. More than happy to help you just with any sort of exercises if you're unsure. And obviously, if not, you can always hire a PT for an hour session where you can simply just go through the exercises that you're uncomfortable with or you're unsure with. Personally, I would say that that is the best option because it's in person, but obviously you need to heavily rely on someone's ability to actually coach, teach, and help you do the movement correctly. Okay. Next, we have got Katrina, who asks, I was told you aren't building muscle unless you feel the burn. I'm skeptical. Is this true? Right. So, no, not the case. What you need to understand is you need to be lifting at a... Basically, long and short of it is the research now suggests that anywhere between 5 and 30 repetitions is enough to inhibit hypertrophy. So building muscle tissue, anywhere between 5 and 30 reps. But it's not the reps that matter. It's the volume and the amount of weight that you lift. If you get to 30 reps and you can do another 30 reps, guess what? Newsflash, it's not heavy enough. If you can't do 5 reps, it's too heavy. Doesn't mean you're not going to build tissue. You would be better to do 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 reps and struggle to finish those reps or do the sets, then do 30 reps and still be able to do another 30. So that's my biggest piece of advice for you. You will feel a burn at some point, but it doesn't mean you're not building tissue. So long and short of it, you need to be lifting with heavy enough weight. You need to be lifting with enough reps, enough sets. And actually, again, another bit of research has actually come out recently where you only need to do 2 sessions a week. And that is, I'm pretty sure it's 2 sets of maximal effort. When I say maximal effort, I mean 2 RIR. And for the listeners who aren't sure what RIR is, that is reps in reserve. So if you can have 1 or 2 reps in reserve left, then you 100% are on the money. Vicky asks, I've already answered that one. Gregory asks, do fitness trampolines actually get you fit? Or is it just mindless jumping around? I can't go into the gym and I was thinking of buying one. Gregory, everything works. Well, actually, Rachel earlier said not everything works. But I think everything works when it comes to fitness. As long as you stick to it and you do it, yes, it's an element of mindless jumping around. But do you enjoy it, first of all? If it's yes, does it elevate your heart rate? If it's also a yes, that's going to be perfect. Right, Kevin has managed to rejoin us. Kevin, welcome back.
I'm so sorry, guys. Yeah, the 4G where I am is really bad. So you're laugh. I've run into a Starbucks to get some Wi-Fi.
Nice, and hopefully a nice coffee with you. So thanks so much for that.
Definitely a cafe latte coming, and them not laughing at me in the background, I don't think.
No worries. I'll make sure I bring you one in return for finding some Wi-Fi. So, first of all, we'll go back onto the next question. So Wimbledon have actually just got promoted.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, so proud. Literally, I went to the semi-final, second leg.
Yes,
which was invited by the club, which was amazing. And then the plan was to go to Wembley yesterday, but with family, you know, my daughter sings at a real, as you know, George, you know, at a real high level. She works at a Warner's, and there was a big show she had on last night, and I think family had to come first, and we went and supported her last night. But lucky enough, the wife let me stop in a pub 10 minutes from the venue and just watch the last sort of, well, the first half, and then I got a bit of the second half, but I kept on, you know, on the phone. So yeah, it's just incredible. Goosebumps still.
Yeah.
You know, I played at the club 21 years ago, but still, you know, just the memories and the history and looking where they are at, what they're doing. It's just goosebumps and just so chuffed, because they're obviously higher up the leagues they go. you know, it'd be even better for all around for everyone.
Yeah, of course. And it's such a big club and it's got a great community involved with it. So, yeah, I mean, what's your favourite memory of playing football? You know, do you have a fond memory that kind of stays deep with inside of you?
100%. It's just that, yeah, fond memories are just the joy it brings you. You know, like scoring goals was one thing that just you can't explain what the feeling's like, especially in, you know, such big games that, you know, we had at the time at Wimbledon, and just the buzz, it, you know, the what it showed when you come off the football pitch, the people's faces, it made their week, it made their weekend, and knowing that what you were doing out there was special. And obviously my mum and dad used to come to every single game, and just to see how proud they were. And yeah, you'd never be able to explain what scoring a goal in front of such a great crowd it feels like, you know. And I was lucky to do it regularly, and so yeah, some great memories. And just, you know, like, you know, just with Wimbledon breaking the all-time record, you know, Eddie Reynolds, whose record I broke, I think it was 1942, he sadly passed away, but his wife was actually at the match, and I was 3 goals from breaking the records, and she was there. And there's a lot of pressure on me. Everyone asked me every week, like, do you think you're going to break this record? And obviously, the more you talk about it at the time,
yeah,
you can play in your mind. And I've just put it to the back of my mind. But I scored 4 the night I broke the record, which was quite... when you think, you know, his wife was actually there.
Yeah.
And it's probably the only game she's ever been to, like, in a long time. And to do it that night, she gave me a big cuddle, and obviously I felt a bit bad, but at the same time, it was just a, you know, just a special night.
No, of course. And records are there to be broken. But yeah, like you said, it was a special night for you. And how many goals was it?
Yeah, so with Wimbledon, I scored 107 goals in 97 games, which, yeah, still when I think about it, I think, how did I do that? But it just seemed to be, I just had that confidence, not arrogance, confidence. That
the Cooper spin?
Sorry?
The Cooper spin? Was that not the famous...
Cooper spin, which you've experienced. Even though I'm 50, I don't want listeners, I have to say this. I'm 50 years old, and 2 weeks ago, George, you did get the Cooper spin, didn't you?
I did. I lost the ball, I lost you, and you slotted it in the corner, and I just sat there scratching my head, and I went,
"Yeah,
that's what he did to get 107 goals.
It was one of them. I was a goal scorer, but I just had this thing where I just could add a little turn in me, and, you know, the little turn used to fall out. You know, even defenders knew what was coming. They wouldn't be able to deal with it, which is lucky for me. So, yeah, the Cooper spin is still, at 50 years old, still trying to happen. But, yeah, no, it's something that... just 107 goals in 97 games. Something I just, even now, if you say go and do it now, go back 20 odd years, do you think you could do it again? Probably not. It's just something at the time, then, right, you know, just the passion and the team around me, to be honest. I know everyone says that. You've only got to look at someone like Gary Lineker, he's just a goal poacher.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of people around him that were doing all the hard work. Mm-hmm. And that was the case for me, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you still got to score him, right? Why did you decide to set up Celebrity Soccer? Tell us more about Celebrity Soccer.
Yeah, so 12 years ago, a friend of mine, his mum was dying of liver cancer, and he, you know, just called me up in tears, saying she's got 3 months to live. Not can you do something for me, but I'm always one of them people that, what can I do? And all I knew was football, and I thought, you know what, I'll put together a charity match, you know, for my friend's mum. He said, well, she's got 3 months to live. I said, yeah, but let's just try and give her the best 3 months of her life, trips, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so obviously... people like Shane Ward, obviously Shane on Godfather, Shane Ward's kids, he was my best man, Shane and Lee Latchford, Evan Stetz, all my other best man. So I've got a network of a base of what were friends. Joe Calzaghe coming to play in the first game, and all the boys from Blue, and there's quite a big, real good turnout for me to say, look, we'll come and support you. And it was after that game, she sadly passed away about 2 weeks after the game, and the family... we couldn't afford the funeral, so it paid for a lot of stuff.
It's taken away.
And it was after that game, they said, look, why don't we do this more, Kev? You know, and so we reached out, Birmingham City, Help Others, which was a young boy who sadly passed away, Harry. And it was just Adam Rickett, who you might remember from Corey. He was head of the charity. He said, Kev, I've seen you do this game. Why don't you come and do it here? We end up with sort of 10,000 people, raise around £80,000 in one match for Help Harry, Help Others at Birmingham City. And then it just, from there, it just carried on. All the celebrity matches now, it carried on from then. All of a sudden, Norwich City, we've done 4 years at Norwich and raised £250,000 in 4 different years at Norwich, having 10,000 there. So it just escalated from there. And obviously, just carried on till 12 years later. I'm still doing it.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. Amazing stuff. And how much is the total that you've managed to raise so far?
1.7 million now.
1.7 million.
When I think about that, it just blows my mind.
It's crazy, isn't it?
But when you think 12 years ago, it was just to help the family at the time. Then obviously, like you say, everyone loved their football. All the celebs love their football, like you, George. You're a good player. You know, you've been on TV and stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm sure your dream is to be a footballer, same as all the other ones who've played. Even like James Arthur's played, hasn't he? And yes. Danny Dyer, Stephen Graham, all amazing in what they do. We'd love to be doing what they do, but they all wanted to be footballers, so we give them a little bit of a dream back. So it works in that way. But yeah, it's 1.7 million now and still going. So yes, amazing. I'm really proud of them. And obviously, like you say, without people like yourself coming off shows like you did and coming to play, it makes a big difference to not only celebrity soccer, but the charities we do it for.
Yeah, of course, and I know full well that all the boys are there for the cause and there to, you know, make people's days and help raise money for charity, and it's just such a great opportunity to, you know, bring some love to people that are maybe in the lowest points of their lives, or, you know, shine some light on them, really. You've obviously mentioned some big names. Are there any other bigger names that you might have missed off? I'm pretty sure you didn't mention Hero. Hero is obviously, he plays. Yeah.
So I'm so proud. We've had the Harry Potter twins, James and Ollie Phelps, have played for me over 12 years, and they played last year at Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Hero friends, Tiffin, a massive, massive star. My daughter, when I found out he wanted to play, she was just overwhelmed. One of her biggest little people she wanted to meet. But like Stephen Graham's just a huge actor. We've had Ollie Mears. Mm-hmm. Like you say, some big names in there. Even ex-pros, you know, Wes Browns of Man United and Robbie Savages. We've had it across the board. You know, Danny Jones, McFly. Some great names in there. When you look at soccer, they are the main ones out there, and they're amazing what they do. But what I'm proud of sometimes, you watch soccer, and we have 6-7 of the players that play there.
Yeah.
That have played for us all year, which is just... something, really proud of.
Yeah, and so you should be. Who's your favourite celebrity you've ever played with? And what's your favourite pitch you've had a game on?
Wow, that's a difficult one. This won't go down with all the other celebs, will it? Right.
Well, you've got to say me, obviously.
My most enjoyable and funniest to play with, because he can play a bit, to be fair, is Danny Dyer. He's an absolute legend. Mm-hmm. And I think you know that. Every game he played, I always try and put myself in the same team, because Danny just wants to come and get a release from life and play football.
He does.
You'll notice that, when you've got people like Danny in the team and James Arthurs, people like that, you give them the ball as much as you can. They come to entertain the crowd. And I just enjoy playing with Dan so much.
He can play. He can really play a bit. And he loves a tackle.
And his passion is there. Do you know what I mean? And he's so supportive. And like everyone is, but you say a favourite, it's probably Dan, because just when you're on the pitch sometimes, I'll try and do something that I think I can still do at 15. It doesn't come off, and he just gives me that look. Or if I give the ball away and they score, he'll give me a look, and it just makes me laugh, because everyone else would just, laugh it off. We're down and go, come on, Kev, we've got to win this. And it adds that bit of pressure to me. But no, again, everyone who plays, there's not a single one. But you ask me the question, I'll say Danny Dyer, definitely.
Yeah, I've played with Danny, and you can always tell that he's up for it. He's got great energy. He's always the last one out on the pitch as well, doing pictures, autographs, everything with everyone. He spends a lot of time giving back to people that have turned up as well.
Like you say, you've got the Dannys and the Billy Wingrows, who, like you say, they're the last ones in. Mm-hmm. They'll stay out there for 2 hours, and sometimes you're like, come on, you've got to come in now. But they don't forget where they've come from, and they're out there for hours. So in that way, if you're looking at that angle as well, another great thing they do, which you do as well, George, by the way. There's a lot of lads that do, a lot of the lads appreciate that, that the people are there to see them. And we always do the trophy at the end, and then all you guys and all the girls, like Sam Bailey's as well, you all go over and do your photos. So these people have made a trip to see you, and you make their dreams come true.
Well, I mean, we're just there to help raise money for charity. That's, like I said, that's my biggest thing. We've got a game coming up at the Emirates, haven't we?
We have on Thursday, which is so sorry. Well, I'm out and about. I'm so sorry that first of all the signal wasn't great, but I'm on the way to pick the kits up.
Oh, okay.
So Thursday, the Emirates is, we did it last year. Very special, like one of the most, best stadiums in the country, if not Europe. And we're playing there Thursday night, which is very exciting.
What should people expect, and also where can they get their tickets?
Yeah, so as you know, a lot of them might not be there to see the football, just to see the celebrities. Mm-hmm. They might not be into the football. So what you can expect is a lot of fun, lots of goals. Every game is more or less ended up like 9-0, 7-0. So it's not a game where they come and watch. The level of football is very high, but at the same time, it's very funny as at the same time. And we have Ricky Groves, Gary Hobbs, you know, who's in EastEnders. He's our, as you know, our PA on the mic, and he gets the crowd singing.
Our resident MC, yes.
Yeah, and when someone gets the ball from a TV show, the theme tune comes on. So there's a lot of laughs and fun, and at the same time, a lot of quality as well. And when it's Ricky, make sure you cannot be at that stadium and not enjoy yourself by celebrating every single goal, whether you want to or not, which makes a big difference. And that's why it's such a good family day to come and be part of.
Amazing stuff. And people can get their tickets at celebritysoccer.org.uk. .org.uk.
Yeah, the best way we say is go onto Google, put celebrities, if you spell the word celebrity soccer, then you'll see celebrity with the S. And it's S-E-L-L-E-B-R-I-T-Y, soccer.org.uk. And the tickets are on there for Arsenal right now. And there's literally about 150 tickets left.
Amazing.
For the allocation we're allowed at the Emirates. So be
incredible.
Quick.
Incredible stuff. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for today. And guys, reminder, you can get your tickets at celebritysoccer.org.uk. That is celebrity spelled with an S. Kevin, where can people find us?
Yeah. So on celebritysoccer.org.uk, all the upcoming games are on there. And that's, like you say, on Google, that's the best way to find it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And I will speak to you very soon.
Thanks so much, George.
Cheers,
brilliant.
Kevin.
I'll see you Thursday.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye. Coming up after this, I'm going to be joined by Tafiq Hanachi, who is a professional chef and founder of Nutrigenic.
Foodbar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on Foodbar Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction, send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
You're listening to Foobar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foobar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Foobar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The Foobar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When is too early to say I love you? Soph said it the night we met.
Yeah. I did. Right, okay, right, let's just clear this up, right? When I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab, and I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, well, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I said, I love you, and you were like, I love you too. And I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much, oh my God, I love you.
Death, a funny business on Foobar Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
We store so much of our trauma and our energy in our body. I am just incredibly, incredibly tired of keeping this trauma locked inside my body. And so all I needed to do is release it. You know, it's like going on a bender and drinking too much booze and you throw it up, because you just need to get that out of your system, because it's gonna catch up with you at some point if you don't.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau, exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Joining me now is Tafiq Hanachi, professional chef and founder of Nutrigenic. Tafiq, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Good morning to you and all your audience out there. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. So, you are a professional chef. Where did you first discover your passion for cooking?
Oh, wow. That's a very long time ago. I was really young and I was helping my family with their food business since I was around 9-10 years old. So I was involved in preparing and getting a lot of food prepared. Basically, my job was peeling potato, if I'm being honest with you. Mm-hmm. At that age, it was sad for me because I've always wanted to get involved in a bigger cooking and a bigger part of the cooking with the family. But I've started there for a while and then I jump in to do something bigger. That's where it started.
Nice. And when you say something bigger, you obviously worked in the restaurant industry. It has a little bit of a bad rep for maybe some direct or aggressive kind of a bit of an aggressive nature. What was your experience like in the kitchen?
I've worked with professional chefs, a lot of star chefs out there. I've done, so it's more than two decades for me in the industry. As an expertise, I went for a culinary school and then I've worked in France, in Paris, and here in the UK. Mm-hmm. My title is Development Operation Executive Chef. I've done multiple brands, big names, very high level, but I had it to the expertise of different levels that helped me to look at food in many different ways. The authenticity, the old school cooking, but also the fine cooking and the fine dining and the Michelin star. So it was a great experience.
Which has kind of led you to set up Nutrigenic, yes. Because obviously I know you have a passion for food. So why did you set up Nutrigenic?
Let me tell you, before Nutrigenic, I set up Cafe Genic, which is a cafe. It's a brunch offering mainly. Then maybe around 2 years ago, even though I had a food business and I'm a chef as well, but due to the fact that I was running my own business, the time, the hassle, you know how it works. At some point I was wondering about the meal preps and I wanted to do my own, and I looked online for many other meal preps, and in fact we made, me and my partner at that time, so we made few orders to try the offering. I was extremely disappointed in many ways, and I thought, I could offer something here, something unique and different. And that's where it all started. Start to think about it, started some bits to around branding and the idea and the offering, see what's the gaps in the market, did some research, and we figured out that there is a huge gap for an authentic, real nutrition and real quality that you can enjoy, but also you can hit the targets that you're after exactly.
Yeah, so how does Nutrigenic differ to other meal prep companies?
Oh, the difference is quite wide, to be honest with you. It's mainly related to our nutritional precision. That's one very important fact for us. We do not compromise flavors. We do not compromise the joy of enjoying some good food. So you still eat, enjoy, lots of flavors packed. You've tried our food, actually.
I have. Yeah, fantastic stuff, super tasty.
Also, what we give you when it comes to nutritional precision is a very, very, very important subject. I think it will come up very soon for many people to discuss it. So we do not literally just make some guesswork when it comes to nutrition. We have a software that factors every single element of the cooking process, the yield variation, the cooking methods, the starting point of what ingredient, where it comes from, all the details about the ingredient. So we don't, when we give you, for example, 100 gram of cooked steamed rice, we know exactly where it started, the way it's been cooked, for how long, the yield, the water, everything, all the changes that that specific ingredient goes through is factored in our software, just to give you the most accurate nutritional values possible. And that's one of the things about us. Also, our offering when it comes to flavor, and we take you literally around the world with different offering. Like, you could enjoy Thai cuisine today, tomorrow you could enjoy some Italian. You could, so basically you go all around the world to have different flavors. But also, we work a lot around nutritional values and to bring you something that fits into your diet easily. We are also not a mass production business. So, and I say this makes a big difference. Maybe not just a normal audience hearing this, it will really know much about it, because the food industry is a very complex industry.
That it is.
Mass production basically brings a lot of compromise to the product itself. So we're not a mass production. We produce every day whatever we need exactly. We cook everything in-house. And here it comes the most important thing about us. It's the excellence of picking the right ingredient and the process, what we do after it and how we cook it, how we process it in our kitchen. We use just single ingredients, and that's where we start from. So every sauce, every multi-ingredient items is made in-house. We know everything in there. And when we claim that we do not use any chemicals or additives, zero artificial ingredients or UPFs, we mean it. We know what we're doing. We know every single ingredient. We're happy literally to expose everything to anyone who wants to visit us or see how we do things. And that is an element. It's been used a lot in marketing, you know, very well. Like, lots of people just use it, they throw it out there. Oh, we are clean of this and that. I mean, I doubt that, because I know it's my expertise. Food nutrition and food chemistry is my expertise, and I know even the name of the brand of the items they use. I know everything, all the details about it, and that's why. So we've chosen not to go down that route. It is commercially, it works much better the way they do it. But for us, it's not about it's not a commercial business. It's not about my, it's not about money only. It's more about integrity and our joy of what we're doing, basically.
Okay, so, you know, more accuracy, great flavors, nutritionally packed and dense. Okay, this is great.
And quality is very important.
Quality, of course,
is one of the most important things. And when we say we are 100% whole food, that's what we offer to people. We go through every single ingredient. We literally super active on trying new ingredients all the time.
So, going on new ingredients, how do you decide the menu?
How we design our menu is very... So, basically, we've got a huge map on site. We look at all the countries and around the world. It's just like, we want people to enjoy, like, different cuisine. So, it's not just for us. It's not just about putting ingredients, like, put protein, put this and that. No, we go to that cuisine. We explore. We pick whatever the meals and the combination of flavors. Sadly, most of these meals, always it comes with a lot of and non-healthy ingredient, etc. So we create the substitute. So we make sure that we keep the flavor, the authenticity. You can enjoy that original flavor. But then we work with many different ingredients to balance. Like, when it comes to few cuisine, you use a lot of sugar and lots of normal oil, etc., vegetable oil. But because we don't use any of that, literally for us, for example, the section of oil in our kitchen is very specific. It's got just three type of fat. That's where we, what we use in our kitchen. We don't use anything else. We use extra virgin olive oil. And this is one of, also one of the very tricky marketing words that people use. Extraversion olive oil, it has to be cold pressed, otherwise it's not healthy.
Yeah,
that's one element. But also when we cook, use it in our cooking, we make sure there is a maximum temperature that it could go through while cooking, so we do not process it, basically. The second fat element we have is the ghee, butter ghee. We make the ghee in house. We get pure butter.
Tafiq, I don't mean to interrupt you, my friend. I don't mean to interrupt you. We are literally running out of time as we speak. So, last little bit, where can people find you online? I didn't mean to cut you off, by the way.
No, that's all right. So, you can find us online everywhere on social media, but also you can go to our website, nutrigenic.co.uk. You can make your plan. You can have a single order to try.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, if you have time, I'll say just a couple of things, that there's a lot coming up.
We are literally cutting out of time. I'm going to have to cut you off. Thank you so much. I will speak to you soon. You have a great rest of your day.
Definitely.
I'll message
you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right, guys, a massive thank you to Rachel, Kevin and Tafiq for today on What the Health. Remind you guys can listen back on social media and on podcasting platforms. I will be back next week, 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. And as always, guys, I'm George. Thank you for listening. You have a great day. Goodbye.